Let's start. Divrei Yomim, Aleph, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Chaf. Okay, so we're dealing with still the names of all the different Levim, etc. She says out of the Levim, Achia, Otos, Bezalhim, who's in charge of the treasury houses, Otos, Kedoshim as well, as the consecrated things as well. Right, and then it says, there was, by the way, this may have been Achia HaShiloni. Achia HaShiloni is one of the big Levim in Klal Yisrael. And of course, the Rebbe of Yeruvim ben Nevat, who eventually rebelled against David HaMelech. Bnei Gershunim Ladon, Rosh Avos. So we have the sons of Gershunim Ladon, etc. Rosh Avos Ladon, HaGershunim Yechieli, he was in charge. Bnei Yechieli, Zesam Yoel, Achiv Yoel, his brother, Alotos, Beis Hashem, they were in charge of the storage houses. La'amrami, La'yitari, La'chavrun, Lo'zieli, U'Shvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe. Okay, now this guy, his name is Shvuel ben Gershom ben Moshe. Nagid Alotzaros, he was in charge of all the treasuries themselves. Now, Shvuel is a very, very interesting word over here. Now, we had a guy much earlier whose name was Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. He was the guy who was the Kohen, so to speak. He was a Levi, but he was the Kohen for Pesel Micha. Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe is really Yonasan ben Gershom ben Moshe. The reason why his name is hidden is to not embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu that a grandson of his was worshiping idols, that he went off doing idols, etc. According to Chazal, the Medrash, this is the same Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe that he was already this old, over 400 years old, and that he served as the treasurer for David HaMelech because he did tshuva, that he no longer wanted to do stuff for money. Back then, he was doing something for money. He worked in order to make a little bit of money for, you know, an Avodah Zarah place. Now he was Shivuel. He returned to God. And Chazal says, since it's Ben Gershom Ben Moshe, that's the connection over there. But of course, this also could be another person named Shvuel Ben Gershom Ben Moshe. If so, if it's another person, then there's a very unique thing to learn from over here. There is no name Moshe that appears throughout Shas or the Midrashim. There is one guy who's an Amaretz whose name is Moshe Bar Atzri, who's mentioned at the end of Bava Basra, Kuf Ayin Dalet Amin Aleph. He is the only Moshe in all of Shas. There is no Reb Moshe. There is no Rav Moshe. Go through the Midrashim. Go through the Yushalmis. There is no Moshe anywhere. Even till the times of the Gaonim, there was no Moshe throughout anybody. Now, it could be that just a guy named Moshe never made it into the Gemara. It could be that that just happened. But the Maratz Chiyas in Ksuvis Daf Nun, in Gittin Daf Nun, as well as the Makor Chesed on the Sefer HaChasidim on page, during the will of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, says that it wasn't coincidental. They did not name their kids Moshe because the name became to them almost like an oath and a shvua in the name of God. And the crazy thing is that we do see in the Gemara where they said, Moshe, Shapir Kalmarta, like by the name of God, like Ha'el Lokim, that's what they would say, is like a Shavua. They use that as that name. So apparently people didn't name their kids. If this is a different Moshe, this Shvuel, who is living later, this is the only other Moshe in all of Tanakh, aside from our own Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the only reason why.
Or it could just be skipping generations, saying that Shvuel was a great-grandson.
Oh, all the way back from there? That's interesting also.
I mean, but it doesn't make sense to
it is strange. But yeah, 400 years old. Nugid, he was in charge from right over there, right? And that was the idea behind it. Okay, so that's that. Nugid Lotos.
Or maybe kept the name in the family.
Right, no question. In Baba Basra, Kuf Yudim and Aleph, it says that this is the same Yonasan. The Echov L'Eliezer, Rechavya Beno. Now, his brother, right, it seems like Eliezer is Gershom and Eliezer, the other brother of, you know, Moshe, the other son of Moshe Beno. Rechavya Beno, he had Rechavya's son, Yeshaya Beno. Yoram Beno, Zichri Beno, Shlomis Beno. And yes, once again, you see the word Shlomit as being a male name, even though we normally use now Shlomit as a girl's name. Who Shlimos the Echov al Kol Otzar Kedoshim. So he, Shlomos, I guess there was another name used for him, which is interesting, and his brothers al Kol Otzar Kedoshim, they were charged with the Kedoshim, Asher Hikdish, Davin HaMelech, Varoshe, Avos, Sari, Alafim, Vameos, Vasari, Atzava, as well as the heads of the fathers of all the thousands, the officers of thousands, hundreds, and the generals of war. Minim al-Khamas, Minim al-Shalah, Hikdishu, they went ahead and consecrated all the stuff they had from the war and the spoils that they took L'chazi Beis Hashem in order to strengthen the Beis HaMikdash itself. V'chol HaHikdish, Shmuel HaRoa, V'shol Ben Kish. Everything that was consecrated by Shmuel HaNavi, as well as Shol Ben Kish. Remember, in the times of Shmuel HaNavi, quite often the Nevi'im were called Roim. That's the reason why I call them Shmuel HaRoa over here, Shol Ben Kish. Avner Ben Ner, Yoav Ben Truya, Kol HaMikdash Al Yad, Shlomis V'achav. Everything that was consecrated, whatever they took, was given over to Shlomis and his brothers. La Yitari, right, for all the Yitari people of Shevet Levi, Kenan Yovu Vanav Lemlocha Chitzona, they did the outer work of Yisrael, Leshotim, Leshotim. They were mostly officers and judges, people that were in charge of the learning, right, for Klal Yisrael that took care of that. La Chavroni, Chashav Yove, Echav Bnei Chayo, Elav Ushami also was 1,700 of them up Gudus Yisrael. They were in charge of the Bnei Yisrael, the one on the Agame Averly Yardim Arava, on the west side of the Jordan River, the Jordan crossing. For any of the work that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed, as well as the Avodah of the king, I would assume they were also, I guess, dignitaries that went to other lands, considering how close they were, the proximity to the Jordan River and how they could get over. I would assume that's what they did. Lechavroni, Yeriah Rosh, Lechavroni, he was the head of the Chavroni, Lesoldos of Lavois, Bishnas, Arvain, Lamalchus David, in the 40th year of the reign of David Melech, Nidrashu, they were sought after, Vayimatu Hem Givorichal, they were found very, very big warriors, Biazir Gilad and Yazir Gilad. The Echo of Bnei Chayo, Alpaim, Shamios, Rashi Avos, and then his brothers that were very, very strong people, there were 2,700 of them, Rashi Avos. They have Kidim David Melech, Ruveni, Vagad, Vachash, Venashi, Lechodvar, Lukim, Vara Melech, they were in charge of those three tribes, the 2.5 tribes that were on the other side of the Jordan River, for any matters of the king and any matters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu they needed. Obviously, if they wanted to donate something, if they wanted to make sure they could come somewhere, they needed a government office to be able to make sure that they would have an easy way to be able to get in or to donate or to do whatever it was. That's what these men were in charge of. They were in charge of all that different stuff over there. Pasuk Perek Chaf Zayin. Ubnei Yisrael lemisparam Rashi Avos Sari Alafim Ameos Shotim Ashor Sim Samelach. Right, according to their number over here, the heads of the families, the officers, the thousands, the hundreds. Right, the Shotreim is the policemen that served the king. Lechol Dvar Machlakos for all the different divisions that they needed. Habal VaYotzei is those that came and went. Chodesh B'Chodesh every single month, because remember there were people coming in every month and people leaving every month. Lechol Chad Sheshan every single month. The Machlokes VaAchas Asim Rabal Elaf. Altogether, there were 24,000 men per chelek, per division. So the first month was in charge of Yeshavam ben Zavdiel, was in charge of Al-Machluktoi. Ezra Rabbi Elof, he had 24,000 people. Beneath him, B'nei Peretz, HaRosh L'Chos Eretz Vos, L'Chodesh Rishon. From the children of Peretz, right, those are the people of the 24,000 that were chosen from, he was the chief of all those officers for the first month. We already said that there were 24,000 people that worked during the month and 1,000 people that were in charge of all the divisions that also came. So 25,000 people per month. If we have this down all together, 25,000 times 12, right, so it would have been 300,000 people, and those were the 300,000 people missing from the numbers that we mentioned earlier, all the people that are missing up above. Dodai Ho'achochi, we do meet Dodai Ho'achochi, is one of the generals, the warriors that David HaMelech mentions, one of those guys. Machluk Tachto, Miklos Hanagid, Vamachluktai, Esom Ra'al, 24,000. We certainly know him. Hakoin Rosh, Vamachluktai, Esom Ra'al, Olaf, Hubineyo, Gibor Ashloshim, he was one of the Giborim of those 30, Vamachluktai, and he was in charge of the 30 as well. Machluktoi Amizavad Beno. And Amizavad was in his division himself. We don't know anything else about Amizavad, but it's interesting that he's pointed out among the leaders. Maybe he took over Benio when Benio was not able to do his duties because he also was the Av Beis Din. So perhaps he took over afterward. Ravi, Lechodesh Ravi, Asael, Ach Yoav. This is Asael, the brother of Yoav, Zvadya Beno, Achrov. Vamachluktoi Esen Rabba Olaf. Now, I don't think Asael had this job for very long. And the reason why is because by the time David HaMelech became king, I'm pretty sure Asael was already dead. Abner and Yoav had already...
Hebron.
I'm sorry?
He was already king in Hebron.
Yeah, so it's weird that he would have had a machlukto, in other words, people in charge already, but maybe he did, and Asael was in charge for maybe a year or two before he became king, before he got killed.
Do you think it's possible
Asael was killed by Abner?
Asael here is talking about maybe his wife did Yibum or something, and then they
and
had
then another kid
named Asael, and he grew up and became...
So hard to say Ach Yoav, right? The brother
right,
of Yoav would be hard.
He stepped into the shoes of his brother of Yoav.
I don't know. I think it's got to be that he did something, and then Zvadia's son took after him. But yes, I don't want to say anything over here because this is extremely strange that Asael would have served at all.
Yeah, so
and I certainly
mean,
was.
Rashi says, "Sharei Asael neharak b'tchilat malchuto shehargo Avner, v'natan Zvadia beno acharav."
Yeah. No, I'm not questioning that. But what I'm saying is, what I would have thought is that David HaMelech did not create these machluktas right until later on in his kingdom when he was more set and in charge of all of Klal Yisrael. But if so, if this is true, then it would make a lot of sense. These were only people from Shevet Yehuda, right? They wouldn't have been people from elsewhere because those are the only people he was in charge of at the time.
Well,
okay, but it does say Asael. Well, yeah, Shevet Levi would have been around also, obviously, because of the base of Mikdash. Then it says, HaChamish HaChodesh HaChamish HaSar Shamhus HaYisrach. Reva Machlukto Asim Rabba Elof, another 24,000. Hashishi Elachodesh Hashishi, Ira Benike Shatkoi, Amachlukto Asim Rabba Elof, Hashvi Elachodesh Hashvi, Chelet Hapiloni, Haploni. Oh.
Wait, doesn't Ira, he shows up somewhere.
Ira Yiri, but it's not the same person. Ira Yiri is the Rebbe of David HaMelech, but he's not, that's not this guy. Chelet Haploni is an interesting name. Is it actually translated? Yeah, Ploni. I wonder if that was an actual city. You know, we always say Ploni Almoni. Because they always say in Rus that Ploni Almoni is not his real name, but over here, Chelet Haploni, Bnei Ephraim.
Maybe saying Chelet's the guy from Bnei Ephraim. saying, yeah, that guy, Chelitz.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah, but Machluk, though, Esmer Rabba Allah, Hashmin El Chodesh Hashmini, Sibchai HaChushasi LaZorchi. They were in charge of the people of Zorchi. Now, Sibchai HaChushasi was also a very famous person. He's one of the people that were the warriors of David HaMelech. But Machluk, Esmer Rabba Allah, another 24,000. Hachi, number 9 over here, El Chodesh Hachi, Aviezer HaAnsoisi, LaBein Yemini, for the Binyaminites. But Machluk, Esmer Rabba Allah, I would assume the Binyaminites were some. Now it gets a little strange. If the Binyaminites were part of this,
how are there,
then Asol should be dead already.
Why?
No, because Binyamin.
It's part of it. Was always part of Yehuda.
No, not when Avner made what's his name,
right,
king.
Avner
made Ishbal king. There's no way. So this got to be toward the end of his reign. Ishbosheth is known as Ishbal also, right?
Maybe that came later. Maybe he made a ninth regiment, or he had four. It just telling, it,
yeah,
give
it's
us an
strange
order of when he made them.
It's strange. I hear you. All right, Asiri l'chodesh Asiri, Marai hanetofasi lazarchi v'amachlukto asim rabba alav, another 24,000. Ashtez olash yasar chodesh for the 11th month, Benaya hapirasoni, mibnei Ephraim. Hapirasoni we've seen before. He's one of the shoftim. Right, we do see a Pirasoni from before. Mimnei Ephraim. Vamachluktai Esrom Va'olaf. Hashnei Masal Hashnei Masal Achodesh for the 12th month. Cheldai and Tofasi Losniel. Right, they were in charge of the children of Asniel ben Kenaz. Vamachluktai Esrom Rabba Olaf. Al Shifti Yisrael Lurveni Nagid Eliezer ben Zirchi LaShimoni Shpatio ben Machal Levi Chashavi ben Kmuel LaAaron Tzadok LaAaron Tzadok in charge of the Kohanim was Tzadok HaKohen. LeYehuda Eliu Maachei David. He was one of the brothers of David. He was the only one that survived. Actually, remember, David Amelech's brothers were killed by Moav. Right, we talked about that before. Eliyahu was the only one to survive. Liyisachar Omri ben Michael, Lizvulin Yishmayahu ben Ovadyahu, Linaftali Rimos ben Azriel, Livnei Ephraim, Hoshea ben Azazyahu. I would assume that the name Hoshea was a very popular name among the Bnei Ephraim. Lachatzi Sheva Menashe, Yoel ben Pedayahu.
Right, so they just like they kept the name Hoshea in the tribe. Mm-hmm. Perhaps Moshe was kept within the
it's
line
possible,
of Moshe.
It's possible, yeah.
If Moshe's your great-grandfather,
Lachatzi Menashe, Gilodo, Yido ben Zechariahu, Levinyamin Yasiel ben Avner. Okay, Ladon Azarel ben Yerocham, Elo Sari Shivti Yisrael. Those are the Shvatim, the leaders of the Shvatim Yisrael. Lanos Davin Yisparon ben Esrim Shana Lamalto. David Melech never counted those from 20 years old and below. Remember, he did send out Yoav in order to count the tally. One of the six things that Yoav did in order to not get David Melech in trouble is he did not make a full count of the people that were under the age of 20. He refused to count them. So when he came back and David Melech said, well, what about the kids under 20? He said, oh, I forgot to do that. Right, so that was one of the things, so that there wouldn't be any curses on them, they wouldn't be affected by a plague later on. It was a good thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to increase Bnei Yisrael like the stars of the heavens, and by counting them, that gives them a limited number. Yoav ben Tzruya, Heichel Limnos Velo Kila. He started the count, but he didn't finish. Because of that, there was anger on Bnei Yisrael. Velo Allah Mispar Divrei Yom LaMelech David. Right, the number was not entered among the numbers in King David's Chronicles, and the reason why it wasn't put in there is because it's a sad recollection of what David HaMelech did wrong, asking for the numbers, asking for the count, when he should not have done so. He should not have counted Klal Yisrael unless he was doing it by sheep or by chatzi shekel. Since he did it in the wrong way, we don't mention it in Divrei Yamin, which is only going through the greatest things of David HaMelech's life.
But the translation here says something different. It doesn't really make sense. And the number did not come up to the number of the Chronicles of King David.
No, I don't think that's the right translation.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't think so. Val Otsrot HaMelech Azmavas Ben Adil. The treasuries of the king, though, is Azmavas, the son of Adil. Azmavas, what a name. Strong as death. Powerful as death. Vala Otsros, Basada, Ba'orim, Ba'kfarim, Ba'migdolos, Yonas, and Menuzio, and all the treasuries of the fields and the cities and the villages and in all the towers.
The name they gave him, nobody would steal from the,
I think anybody
from
would,
the coffers.
And nobody would ever take that name ever again. Can you imagine naming a kid Azmavas?
That's a great name.
No, but it's like you don't want to mess with him, so no one's going to go steal from the king's.
So his parents knew with Nevuah.
No, but maybe that wasn't really his name. That was like his official title or something.
It's weird. Val Osei Melech Hasad, those people were in charge of the work in the field, because obviously there was a lot of work to be able to do in the field themselves. La Bodas Adama Ezri ben Kluv. His name was Ezri, son of Kluv. Val Akramin, the vineyards, Shimia Ramasi. Val Shabakramin La Otsos Yain Zavdi Hashifmi itself. It seems like Shimi was in charge of the grapevines, harvested them, and Zavdi was the one who took them and turned them into wine. Val Zaysim Hashikmin, and on the olives and the sycamore trees, Ashavashvila, that were in the lower valleys, Baal Hanan Hagideri, Val Otsos Hashem, and in charge of the oil was Yoash. Well, no son of or anything. That's interesting. Yoash. Vala Bakar Aroim in charge of the cattle, Basharon. This was Shirtai Hasharoni, Vala Bakar Balmalkim, and all the cattle in the valleys, Shafet Ben Adloi. I would assume there were two different types of cattle. Vala Gamalam Ovil Hayish Me'eli. The camels, this guy may not have been Jewish. His name is Ovil Hayish Me'eli. It's very possible he wasn't Jewish at all. Right? Vala Sonos, and on the donkeys, Yechadyo Hameronosi. Hameronosi of Meronos? I've never even heard of that city before.
Meron.
Oh, you think it's Meron?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Valatzon Yozis Hahagri. This is a Hagirian, meaning hugger. You know, one of the six tribes that came from, you know, from Yishmael's brothers. Kulasari Rechush. All of these people over here were the managers of the property, Ashalom al David. Vionason Dod David and Yehonason, the uncle of David Amelach. So I don't know who that is. I would assume Yishai's brother. Yoetz, he was an advisor. Each made him a sofer, who he was a very understanding man, and he was a sofer. V'Yechiel ben Chachmoni im b'nei HaMelech. Yechiel ben Chachmoni was in charge of the princes. V'Achitofel, Yoetz l'Melech, he was an advisor to the king until unfortunately went off and went with Avshalom. Hushai Arki, Re'ah HaMelech. Hushai Arki was the friend of the king, who we all know at the end, when Avshalom went there, he double-crossed Avshalom and ended up winning the war for David HaMelech. After Achitophel went Yoyada, the son of Beniyahu, before Beniyahu became powerful, his son, and then Avyasser, he was also a Kohen Gadol, but we don't mention him because he was taken down from his position. He unfortunately also went with Adoniyahu. When Adoniyahu tried to become king, Avyasser went with him. That didn't work out well for Avyasser. No, yeah, it's true. But Avyasser was kicked out of the kingdom by Shlomo HaMelech when Shlomo became king. Right, and the general of the army of the king was Yoav, which obviously they happened later on as well. I'm trying to see over here. Right, Chazal do teach, not specifically from this pasuk, from the pasuk that's very similar in Shmuel, that there was a status and an order to how David HaMelech used to go to war. That he used to first advise with Achitophel, and then he went to Sanhedrin to ask them their permission with Beniyahu ben Yoyada, and then he went to the Urim V'Tumim with Tzadok, and then afterward, Rav Yasser, and then afterward he would go to Yoav, the Sar Tzavah, to know what to do, how they were going to win this war, etc.
If the Sanhedrin was as influential as the Gemara seems to make it, you never hear a single word about them in the entire time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Why would you plan?
Why would you want to?
I don't know. You're telling me who that basin is. I think that would be important.
We did, Beniyahu.
Doesn't say that anymore.
Not here, it's in Shmuel Beis.
It calls what is it
called? Yeah, Beniyahu is called the with Ala Crazy Vala Placey.
Right, but then you have to understand what crazy and placey.
Okay,
it's
agreed.
Not explicit.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
It doesn't say Rosh Hashanah or anything like that.
Yeah, but I think that's still, I hear you. Yeah.
Why would you plan for it with your general and then go ask something?
I think that shows you the hierarchy, that the hierarchy was, is that even though Yoav was a tremendous strategist, and he was able to get down exactly how to win wars, etc., the first thing that they paid attention to was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from
right,
him first.
Saying, yeah. Ask the Sanhedrin first, and then if they say yes, then you ask your general. Why do you
as opposed to...
You asked the general first?
No. I think it was the opposite. The general was the last one. The first one we went to was the advisor, that's Achitophel. Then he went to Sanhedrin, Beniyahu. Then he went to Avyasser, the Kohen Gadol, right, to ask the Urim V'Tumim. And then the Sar Tzavah LaMelech Yoav. It's not specifically from this pasuk, but it is darshan from the one in Shmuel Beis, I believe. Okay, that's in Brachos. Vayakel David is called Sar Yisrael. Now he gathers together all the leaders of Bnei Yisrael. Sar Yashvatim, Sar Machlokos, Sar Meshorsim, you know, the officers of the Shvatim, as well as those that are in charge of the different divisions that serve the king as a melech. Ooh, yeah, look at that trup. You don't see that trup very often. Visari Alofim, Visari Meos, the officers, the thousands, the hundreds, Visari Kol Ruchush Mikneh, the guys who were in charge of all the money and all the cattle, Lamelech, Levanavim, Masarisim, together with all the eunuchs, in other words, really the officers in charge of the king, Vagiborim, strong men, the whole Gibor Chayol Yerushalayim. He called all of them over to Yerushalayim. Yakum David Melech Raglov. David Melech stood up on his feet. Now, this right here was a very important point. If you remember, when Bathsheba and Nasan and Navi come to the king after Adoniyahu tries to take over the kingdom, right? David HaMelech is lying in bed. He doesn't even stand up when they're there. He doesn't even go to Shlomo Melech's anointment party. I mean, when they anoint Shlomo Melech, David HaMelech remains in his room because it was extremely difficult for him to get up, whether he was tired or old or whatever it was. He was only 70 or 69 at the time. But nonetheless, he was sick in some way and seems bedridden over here. The frail king rising to his feet to say over his last speech to Klal Yisrael obviously made an impression to everyone around them how he was able to do such a thing over here. So I guess you can say this is sort of like his last official act as king. And he says the following, Shema'uni achai ve'ami. Listen, my brothers, my people. Aniyam Levavi Livnos Beis Menucha. I wanted in my heart to build a house of rest for the Aron HaKadosh. V'lahadum Raglei Eloheinu, to be the footstool of the feet of God, so to speak. V'achinos Livnos. And I began to build it. He did. He made the foundations and he put together all the gold and the silver that was necessary in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. But as we know, V'aluhim Amarli, but God told me through Nasan HaNavi Lo Sivna Bayis L'Shmi, you will not build the Beis HaMikdash. Kish Mohammed Saltabi, because you are a man of war, V'damim Shafachtu, you have spilled blood. We already went through the four different answers before. Does that mean that because he spilled blood, he doesn't deserve to be a peaceful king? Or does that mean, right, that such a Beis HaMikdash would be too powerful for anything else to happen? Actually, Kadosh Baruch Hu would not want to destroy such a thing? Or is there something else involved? We've gone through that before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose me over anybody else in my father's house, who were all great, right? All of my brothers were great. Leos Lamelech, so I became the king over Israel. Remember when Shmuel and Avi first saw the sons of Yishai, he went from top to bottom. He saw every single one, and he was like, this guy is amazing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no, no, no to every single one until finally they came to David HaMelech. So I was chosen to be king over Israel, Le'olam. Kibi Yehuda Bachar Lenagid, because Yehuda was chosen to be the prince. Beis Yehuda, Beis Avi, and out of Beis Yehuda came my father's house, B'nei Avi, B. And out of my father's house, out of his children, Mi Ratzah. That's who Hashem wanted, Laham Lechal Kol Yisrael. Mikol Banai, from all my children, Kirabim Banim Nasanli, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me many children, Hashem. Hashem chose Shlomo my son, Leshevas al Kisa Malchus Hashem al Yisrael, for him to be the king over Israel. And he said to me, this is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, I think that means said through Nasan HaNavi to me, because I don't think David HaMelech ever got this nevuah. It could be there was a dream that we're not aware of through the Navi itself, but it probably is through the Shliach itself, through he will build my base, and all the chatzeros necessary for it, because I chose him, Li Levain, for me to be a son, and I will be his father, meaning taking care of him with whatever he needs. It says, I will establish his kingdom forever, meaning until the kingdom of Mashiach. As long as he strengthens himself to do the mitzvot and mishpatim, like today. And now, in front of the eyes of all of Bnei Yisrael, the congregation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's interesting, the end of the Torah also goes, in the ears where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can hear us speak, I'm asking you to look out for and search for the mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem. And what that means is don't be satisfied with just doing the mitzvahs. Learn them well and understand what you're doing. I don't want you to be satisfied with just doing whatever you need to do. Understand why you're doing it. Look it into the tefillin and everything else that you wear, that you do. That you truly inherit the land, the good land, and you will give it over to your children after you forever and ever. That's the idea behind it, right? And that's the idea behind everything else. I'm saying like this, there is a line from the Malbim over here, right? What if Shlomo Melech sins? Because it seemed to be conditional. I'm willing to give you the Beis HaMikdash and everything else, right? As long as you do my mitzvos, right? I will establish this kingdom in there. So the Malbim says, a divine promise is not subject to change. Mashiach will still come out. But that the kingdom lasts forever until Mashiach is subject to change. And that might happen, and that, of course, unfortunately, did happen, that we lost the kingdom up until the times of Mashiach itself. At that disqualification, somebody else will take over, probably under the same children of Shlomo Melech, and goes through there, not through another child of David. But I guess in theory, that could happen as well. It says, so we got through that.
Yeah, somewhere that Mashiach from David has to be Ben Shlomo also.
Ben Shlomo.
I mean, he has to be from Shlomo.
Which makes sense. Based on this Pasuk, it makes a lot of sense. But it does seem to be on Pasuk Vav, it does seem to be somewhat, not Vav, where is it? In Zion. But it does seem to be conditional. Im Yechazak Lasos Mitzosai Mishpatai Kayom Azeh. That's what it seems like. But again, a nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we question whether it's a nevuah or just David Melech's words. Vata Shlomo Bini, and you, Shlomo my son, Da Esalokei Avicha, know the God of your father, of Deu, serve and believe Shalom with a full heart of an Efesh HaVeitzel, with a desiring soul. Because all hearts, right? Hashem searches, maybe he understands all of your thoughts. If you search for God, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find you and give you everything you need. But if you don't, you will be forgotten and forsaken forever. You should see now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen you to build the base of Mikdash. So strengthen yourself and go ahead and do it. Find the time to be able able to do it. He said, I want you to be able to go it. Now, there's an interesting line over here. Know the God of your father. What does that mean? It's not his God. It's not Shlomo Melech's God. And the answer is that until a person strengthens himself and becomes older and gets more established, there's no way for you to truly know who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is or what to do. You have to sort of accept it from your parents. You do what your parents told you to do. Only when you get older can you start doing things on your own and decide, you know what, I'm going to do this instead. I'm no longer going to do that. That's not the right thing to do. I'm going to build myself up in a different way. But until that point, it's Elokei Avicha. You're going to have to do that first. And then eventually you'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own special way. And that's what he told him. For right now, you're still young. He's 12 years old at the time. You'll find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your own way, and then you'll find your own, you know, service, etc. Vayitin David l'Shlomo b'no es tavnis ha'ulam es batov v'gan zakov. David HaMelech then gave the Shlomo HaMelech his son, I guess you could say, the plans for the hall, as well as all of its structures. The gan zakov is the storage rooms, v'ali yosav, in the upper rooms, v'chadar, in the rooms ha'pinimim, on the inside of Beis HaKaporis, as well as the area of where the Beis HaKaporis was going to be. I would assume that's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tavnis kol shir haya b'ruach imo. This is all the plans that he had gotten through Ruach HaKodesh that was with him. Whether that was through Nasan HaNavi or Gad HaChoza or even David HaMelech himself. David HaMelech himself was a Navi, right? However he got it, L'chatzu Beis Hashem L'chol HaLish HaChais, for the Chatzur of the Beis HaMikdash and all of the chambers, Saviv, L'Otzos Beis HaLakim, for the storage houses of the Beis HaMikdash, L'Otzos HaKadoshim, for all the storage houses of the Kadoshim, L'Achlakos HaKohanim HaLavim, the rooms given to the Kohanim HaLavim, L'chol Melechas HaVodas Beis Hashem, for all the Melacha of the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, L'chol Klei HaVodas Beis Hashem, as well as how to make all the vessels for the Beis HaMikdash as well, L'Zov B'Mishkal L'Zov, gold by the weight of gold, L'chol Klei HaVodah V'Avodah, for every all kalim of each Avodah, L'chol Klei HaKesev B'Mishkal, a certain amount of weight for all the Klei HaKesev, L'chol Klei HaVodah V'Avodah. He gave him everything that was necessary for over here, everything that could have when it goes through. So I believe the silver was there as sort of like, if you need it, use silver instead. I don't think they ever needed it in Shlomo Melech's time. The silver by Shlomo Melech's time was worth nothing. They probably didn't make anything in the Beis HaMikdash out of silver at that time. It's likely that they used as much gold as they could, but it was there. Everything was there just in case they needed it, and anything was right over there. This is interesting. So the Mefarish, who is the unnamed parish that goes on Divrei Yamin, so the Mefarish says that these plans were drawn up way before even David HaMelech. There's a machlokes, a three-way machlokes, what ended up happening. The Midrash Shmuel over here says, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted these plans at Har Sinai and gave them down from generation to generation until the Beis HaMikdash was going to be built. The Mishkan was always meant to be temporary. The Asuli Mikdash Shachanti Bisocham was always meant to be a Beis HaMikdash. Up until that point, they couldn't build it for whatever reason. Right now, they're ready to be able to hand it down, but it was given over to Yoshua, to the prophets, all the way down to David HaMelech. Okay? Rashi says that it came to David HaMelech from Nasan and Gad HaChoza, which I think makes the most sense, and that does work with the Gemara and Sukkah. Right? A third opinion says, the Mitzudos David, etc., says David HaMelech himself was the one who got it in a dream. He was the one that had it down, but those are the three opinions that are mentioned over here. Then it says, U'mishkal l'minoros hazov in Yerusalem, the amount of weight for what they needed for the menorahs of gold, for everything that they needed, there was gold enough for every single menorah that they needed. Now remember, Shlomo Melech in the end made 10 menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash, not just the one that they had in the Mishkan. There were 10 other menorahs that were created, some say only 10, right, that he made for the Beis HaMikdash itself, again, through the vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do, and also for the menorahs of Kesef, the silver menorahs. Now, what were their silver menorahs for? Again, that could be that it's only for the menorahs where they didn't have enough money to make them out of gold. It also could be that this is used for the private rooms of Levim and the Kohanim. If they needed to see at night, they needed to have menorahs. But Mishkal HaMenorah
v'Nosah. The idea that the Vatican has the menorahs.
Very highly unlikely.
One of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's very highly unlikely. Yeah, there probably
is
something.
That was from the second Beis HaMikdash. This was from the first Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah. Also, the question of how they won. I remember Vitorsky was just telling me, just now, he said, what was he just telling me? Very unlikely that the menorah was the flat one, the one that Chabad always has for all of their things, because that's the Rambam's view. He said, it doesn't make any sense. I forgot why. He just told me a beautiful board. No, he said that's like a smach. He added that on as whatever, but he said, like, it's impossible because X. And I was like, it was in the middle of, like, in between an aliyah and laning, and I was doing Shnai Mikra at the time, and I was, like, listening with one ear and doing Shnai Mikra with the other. I forgot what he told me, but he's, like, very unlikely. And he, I just forgot. Okay, I'll remember it. It says, Kavodus menorah, menorah, what they needed for every menorah. That's a zov mishkal l'shulchanos. He also had an amount of gold for all the shulchanos and arechas, where they would stack, right, l'shulchan, v'shulchan, for every single one. The kesel l'shulchanos akasav, and silver for the silver tables. Again, were they silver for? Maybe they didn't, but there also, there should have been silver tables outside where they chopped up all the pieces and they were able to take out the innards and everything like that. They obviously, they couldn't do that on the ground. So there were silver tables for that. V'amizlagos, v'amizrakos, mizrakos, v'aksavos, zahav tahor. And all the different, like, forks, bowls, tubes, and everything that were made of pure gold, lichpori, lichpori hazav b'mishkal, right? The bowls of gold in a certain weight, lichpori k'for, lichpori akesav b'mishkal, lichpori k'for for each one. Olimizbach haketores zahav mizukak b'mishkal, pure gold from the mizbeach hazav, l'tavnes markava kruvim, and so too for the appearance of the kruvim themselves, right? Zahav l'porsim, the gold for them to be spread out, v'sochem al arm b'ris Hashem, to spread out their wings on the arm b'ris Hashem. Now, stop right there for a second. That's the one that everybody should ask on. You should be like, wait a second. The menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, I get it, because Shlomo HaMelech was able to make others, etc. When did they ever make other kruvim? The kruvim were already there on top of the kaporas for the aron kodesh. They didn't make any other aronos kodesh. So why would they need more gold for kruvim if the kruvim were already made, they were on the aron kodesh, they had the aron kodesh, why would you ever have needed other gold to make the kruvim themselves? Of course, it could be that they needed to be replaced, but that's very highly unlikely. It's possible, though.
They made new kruvim in the Beis HaMikdash.
Ah, so that's the answer. This is the famous Gemara in Shabbos Daf Shabbos, Shabbos or Bubba Basra? Bubba Basra, Tzadi Testament Aleph, where you have a picture of Kruvim. He made two other massive golden Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The question was how they stood. Did they stand like, if the Aron Kodesh was right there, did they stand like this? Did they stand like that? Did they stand like this? Did they stand like that? How the Kruvim stood was a big kasha. But aside from the Kruvim that were on the Aron Kodesh themselves, they made standalone Kruvim that were much bigger and much taller, that may have been 10 amos tall with their wings all the way up, that were standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. That's what this is referring to. Very good. Akol b'ksav miyad Hashem. Everything is in iksav by the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'yizkil, right? He gave me the understanding to do it. Kol melachos hatavnis, all of the work of the plan itself, everything's inside of it. David l'shlomo b'no, chazak v'amatz, be strong and courageous. It's interesting because the same wording is used by Moshe to Yoshua in Yoshua Aleph, right? V'asei, do it, al tirav v'altechaz, do not be afraid, do not wonder, do not be dismayed. Ki Hashem Elokim Elokai yimoch, Hashem Elokim, my God, will be with Eliyahu Parchav Eliezeka. He will not weaken himself from you. He will not forsake you whatsoever. Ad l'chlos kol melachos avodus beis Hashem, until you finish everything in the Beis HaMikdash itself, you will have time to be able to finish everything, and you will finish everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised you, me, you will. B'nimach l'kos ha-Kohanim ba-Levim l'chol avodus beis Elokim, b'imcha b'chol melacha. There will be all the divisions of the Kohanim Levim for all the different avodah of the Beis HaMikdash itself. B'imcha b'chol melacha l'chol divachachma l'chol avodah v'asar m'chol am l'chol divarecha. And all the different people will all be generous to the work. They'll help you with everything you need. Do not try doing this on your own. There's no need for you to do that. You'll be able to take care of it together with them. So in order to make sure that that happened, he said to all the people out there, Shlomo b'ni echad, my son Shlomo is by himself here. Bachar b'alokim, he was chosen by God, narvarach, but he is young and tender. He's a little kid. He's 12 years old at this moment. V'amalacha g'dolo, the amount of work that needs to be done for the Beis HaMikdash is a lot. Kilola adam abira. It's not for man to make a palace, or this is not a palace for a man. Kila Hashem Elokim, this is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol kochi achinos leves lohai. I did everything in my power to prepare for this Beis HaMikdash. Azov lazov, akesav lakesav, anachosh lanachosh, abarzol abarzol, aitim laitim, avnei shoam miluim, avnei puch v'rikma. What's avnei puch?
Precious stones and then marble.
Precious stones.
Marble stones.
And marble stones. Rikma is arba. I always thought rikma is embroidery.
Avnei shayish.
Oh yeah, that means Kovinikar is precious stones. Avnei shayish l'rov and marble.
Stones.
Carbuncle. Okay, never look up the word carbuncle online.
Why?
Carbuncle is a very bad skin disease. Very, very disgusting things.
Where's but carbuncle.
Carbuncle is a very general term of a certain type of stone that includes a bunch of different stones that you could think of. Like it includes, like, not emeralds, but, like, you know, something out there. But you got to be careful when you look up carbuncle over there. Really disgusting pictures. Garnet. I don't want to see it.
No, no.
Yeah, it could be anything. It's garnet. Is that what it said over there?
A garnet
is a form of a carbuncle. Right. There's a bunch.
Stones used for the...
There's a question which one, but it's most likely one of the stones of Yehuda. Yehuda probably had a carbuncle stone. That's what they call it, according to some of the pictures.
We got emeralds here.
You got emerald? I say over here it also says emerald, but emerald is weird. Okay, whatever. It's fine. Either way, it's going to be that way. Od Bertsosi, the Beis Elokai, and because of my desire for a Beis HaMikdash, Yeshua's Gula. I'm sorry?
Nofech.
Nofech, right. That's Yehuda's stone, right? Yeah, Nofech and Sapir. So that's supposed to be Yehuda's stone, the carbuncle. Yeshli segula, I have a segula, a treasury, a zavachas of gold and silver, that I gave myself to the Beis HaMikdash, l'mal mikol achinos to the Beis HaKodesh, aside from the preparations I made. I made the preparations for everything I need, and I gave a ton of money as well. Shoshal alafim kikrei zav, I gave 3,000 talents of gold, mizav ofir, from the gold of Ophir. Shivas alafim, well, we don't know where Ophir is, most likely it's an area in Africa, although I do remember somebody telling me once that it's South America. That's extremely unlikely. Shivas alafim kikar kasem bezukak, 7,000 kikar of silver, which is pure, latuach kiros abatim, in order to spread over the walls of the houses, the different areas around there, refined silver. For everything that was needed for the carpenters. Who else is going to donate? Who here is going to donate with me? Are you with me? This is what I gave. Who's with me in this? So all the officers of the fathers, and so too the officers of the Shvatim Yisrael, and the officers of the thousands, the hundreds, and all the officers of the work of the king, they all donated. They gave over to the avoda, the base of Mikdash, Zav Kikarim, the amount of talents of gold, Chameshes Alafim, 5,000 talents of gold. Now, I'm not putting anybody down over here, but David HaMelech did 3,000 on his own.
He also was the king.
I do agree with that, but remember, a king, lo yarba lo kesef, he can't have that much gold. So I don't know what he did. It probably is that he separated from what he did as spoiled.
Because he gave it all to the base.
Must be, yeah. Ba'adarkonim, as well as all the, what are the Adarkonim? Oh, Darkonim, Rebo. What is this?
10,000
darkons of gold.
We don't know how much a talent is or how much a darkon is.
I'm sure we can look it up. It's weight. They're all weights. Right? Because a talent is what? It's a 30 shekel or something like
it's
that? 300 shekel?
It's a quinin in Old French or a drachma.
Yeah, but I think it... Oh, the darkon you mean. Yeah, but a talent we know. It's 3,000?
Talent is 33 kilograms.
33 kilograms?
Is one talent?
That's a lot. That's a lot of gold.
That's like... I've been to the gold reserves in the Federal Reserve Bank in New York.
You'll be worth about
that's a lot
point,
of gold.
Yeah,
worth
that's
about,
crazy amount.
Today, it'll be worth about $1.25 million.
That's it? Oh, that's nothing.
Well,
each but talent. He had 5,000 of them.
Right.
8,000 altogether if you include Dove and ML. So what was that, 1.25?
It varied between 20 to 40 kilograms.
Good, so you got about, well, what is it, about $8 billion
one
worth
bar
of
gold. One bar of gold, like a standard bar of gold, is 28 pounds.
28 pounds.
Like a standard bar, like a brick.
And what's the other one?
I keep carrying that around. That's what I use for my, you know, for my workouts at night. Yeah. Anyway, it goes like that. Because Karaim, Aser, Salafim, Nechoshes, Rebo. So Kesi Karaim, Aser, Salafim, 10,000 talents of silver. When Nechoshes, Rebo, 10,000 talents of copper. Shmonas, Salafim, oh, no. 10,000, Rebo, Shmonas, Salafim, 18,000 talents of copper. Ubarzomea elef kikaran, 100,000 talents of iron. Wow.
What did they need all that for?
I don't know.
I mean,
have no idea. They didn't make it that big.
It was a finite building.
Yeah. That's a lot
and
of stuff.
And also, I mean, it feels, I mean, I don't mean to say the word wasteful, but I'm saying that there's
only so... They could have used it toward the people itself.
What?
They could have used it toward the people.
Right. I mean, people were, I'm sure, very well off in the time of David and Shlomo.
Especially, I don't know. Sounds crazy, but it also it invites people to come and grab it from you. That's a lot of money.
All right, I'm sure you have the guards and everything to do that, but yeah. You know.
Nonetheless, Hanimsa Ito Avbanim, anybody who found within them these stones, Nasan Lotu B'Sasham, they gave it to the base of Yad Yechila Gershuni. Vayismucho Amal Yisnadbam, the people are so happy on their donations. Kibalev Shalom Yisnadbu L'Hashem, they gave it with a full heart. Vagam David Melech Samach Simcha Gidolim, and David Melech was very, very happy. Baruch David Hashem Lene Kol Kohol. Obviously, you recognize this, or you should. If you don't recognize this, then yeah. By Baruch David, David HaMelech blessed Hashem Leinei Kokol in front of everybody. Yomer, David, and David HaMelech said, Baruch HaTu Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Avinu, may you be blessed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, May Olam Ad Olam, in this world and the next over here. Obviously, it's from right over there, right? That's one of the things that we say. Now, Chazal tell us that if you miss the bracha in Pesukei Dezimra, this is one of the places you should start because at least it starts with a bracha, so to speak. Right, so you have bracha to Hashem, so you're saying it later on. By Baruch David. Look,
no, if
you miss
what?
If you went through Pesukei Dezimra really quickly and you want to say it later on, like afterward, start off with Baruch HaTu Hashem, with Baruch David, so you can say everything with the bracha, so to speak. Hashem Agdula Vagvura Vatvaras Vanetzach Viahod. To you, Hashem, is greatness and strength and beauty, as well as foreverness and splendor. Kikol Pashem Va'orzach Hashem. Everything that belongs in the heavens and the earth is yours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamlach Bamis Naseh L'Chol Arosh, the kingdom as well as the exaltedness for everything all up to the head itself. Chazal say the Gedula refers to Chesed, Gvura refers to Din, Tiferes is Rachamim or Chesed, the combination of them both. Then Netzachod, Yesod and Malchus is Mamlacha and Misnaseh. And they say this refers to the seven different Spheros, which we say during Sphera that you have back inside there, the understanding of which is a little bit beyond my pay grade, but Schwab has a beautiful piece on it in his Book of Prayer. There is riches and honor in front of you. You rule over it all. You have power and strength. In your hands is to be great and strengthened over everything. And therefore, and now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank you. We thank or we praise your holy name. Who am I? Who is my people? That we are able to put together the strength to be able to donate in this manner. You have everything. And from your hand, everything has been given. We are gerim in front of you. So shavim kol avosenu. We are settlers like all of our fathers. Kitzel yamenu al ha'aretz ve'emikveh. There is, I guess, say our days on this earth are like a shadow. We live very, very quickly. We're on this earth. Ve'emikveh. We can't hope for anything but death. We know that in the end of the day, that's what's going to happen. Hashem Elokeinu kol ha'homonazeh. Hashem our God. All of this multitude that we have prepared to be able to build for you for your base of Mikdash Miyad Kohu. It's all yours anyway. You really own all this money. It's really yours in the first place. You are going to test every heart. You want us to be straight and yasher. I promise I did this with straightness in my house and I heart. I donated all this. Now your people and Imsufo that are there, I've seen that they also are happily donating to you. Hashem Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yisrael. Avoseinu, Shomer Zos L'Olam, you should keep this Rav, the Leif Tzimachshavos L'Vav Amecha, to be a Yed Tzimachshavos, to set our hearts, or to be the product of the thoughts of our heart, Amecha, of your people, V'Halkin L'Vav Melecha, and prepare our hearts to be able to be for you. L'Shlomo B'nei, Tein Le'Vav Shalem, to Shlomo, my son, please give him a full heart, L'Shomo Tzosecha V'Eidu V'Osecha V'Chukecha, to keep your mitzvos, your edus, and your chukim. They say mitzvos are the ones we understand, edus are the ones that we keep as like holidays and things that are a testimony for Klal Yisrael, including tefillin. Chukim are the ones we don't understand. L'Asta Kol V'Livnos Abayir Shachanos, we will build the base of Mikdash that we have asked over here. Rachmana Liba Boy. That's the idea behind it over here. Vayomer David L'chol HaKol. These are the last words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruchu Na'as Hashem Elokeichem. Baruchu Es Hashem Avora. That's the last of his words. Bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your God. Vayivorchu Kol HaKahol Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Avoseim, they all bless the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayitu Vayishtachu L'Hashem L'Melech. They bow down to Hashem, to their king.
That might be why we say, you guys don't do this, but say Baruch Hu before Aleinu. Because at the very end you say Baruch Hu, then you're bowed down in Aleinu.
Yeah, Nosef Sfar and Sfaradi. Right, they do that. That makes sense. Yeah, Vayizbuchu L'Hashem Zvachim. They brought korbanos. Vayalu Olos L'Hashem. They brought Olos to Hashem. L'machros Hayomahu. And the next day of that day, because it got too late to bring it that day, Parim Eleph, 1,000 cows, Elim Eleph, 1,000 rams, Kvasim Eleph, 1,000 lambs. Man, can you imagine being the guy cleaning up the ashes the next day? Miniskeim Uzvachim, and their wine libations, as well as the Zvachim, as well as the offerings that they did, L'Rov L'Chol Yisrael, enough for all B'nai Yisrael to eat. The rest of it was Zvachim. There were many Zvachim as well. They ate and they drank in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a tremendous amount of simcha. They renewed the kingdom of Shlomo ben David. They anointed him as the official ruler again, and Tzadok was officially the Kohen Gadol, and that was going to be right over there. Yeah, it makes sense that they went the next day and that was over there. They crowned him again. This is sort of like the renewal of the kingdom itself over here.
It seems to imply that, I think it says also in Malachi or in Shmuel, but that Shlomo became king before David actually died.
Yes. Yeah.
They would be celebrating. If the
and it makes sense also that he did, because it says in the Navi how he became king. They brought him down to the river, they anointed him, etc. Seems like he had something. Shlomo sat upon the throne of Hashem to be king, Tachz Dav Aviv, in place of his father David. Sounds like even during his lifetime. Rabbi Yitzhak, and he became Matzliach, Vayishmoy Lav Kol Yisrael, everybody listened to him. V'chol Asar Megibor, V'gam Kol B'nei HaMelech David, Nasi Yatach Shlomo HaMelech, and all the officers and the strong men, and all of the sons of the king, the princes, the sons of David HaMelech, who obviously had a say in the matter. Shlomo HaMelech was one of the youngest among them, and yet still he was the king. they give a hand.
Well, it makes sense,
right?
Also
that
he would sit
Shlomo
in the chair, because that kind of makes it official. I mean, that's like, not only
the
that,
chair,
David's sitting there and letting him
throne.
Sit in his chair, that's a big deal.
And he made his own throne later on. Hashem raised him above in the eyes of all B'nai Zohar Yitzhak, Hod Malchus. He gave him a certain type of royal majesty, especially if he's only 12 years old at the time. He had to have something a little bit special. Shaloi Al-Kol Melech Lefanavad Yisrael, Al-Yisrael, that no king before him had in Yisrael.
Well,
now, obviously,
like
right, you're only David, Ish-Baal, right, or Ish-Boshes, and Shaul HaMelech, right? Those are the three before him. Perhaps they mean even among the Shoftim, because Moshe and Yoshua, it's machlokas whether they had the status of kings or not. That's a famous Chsam Sofer in Siman Reish Chas. In fact, there's an entire Sefer written by Reb Tzvi Hirschchias, the Maratz Chias, entirely in this subject. Was Moshe and Yoshua, did they have the status of kings? Part of it was, were they able to kill the way a king is able to kill, according to the Rambam, or did they have to do it only through the process of Beis Din? Were they able to kill on their own? But that already is a big machlokas. Perhaps they mean like leaders of Klal Yisrael. No leaders of Klal Yisrael, including all the Shoftim, had the type of power and majesty
include,
that he had.
Well, this could also include Moshe to an extent that, I mean, Shlomo was a king during the time of peace. Mm-hmm. So everything was just like
doing
great.
Well, yeah.
And so, you know.
Yep, you're 100% right. While Moshe Rabbeinu
was dealing
with a lot of
wars. He
didn't
have to get his hands dirty. Moshe had to get his hands dirty, so to speak.
He did have to get his hands dirty, you're right, but only for Yoav and Adoniyahu. That's what he, oh, and Shimi Ben Gera.
Right, but those were more like isolated. Ones for the whole nation.
Isolated.
Moshe had
no wars. No wars. Then it says, V'David ben Yishai, Malach al Kol Yisrael. I'm sorry?
He was on top of the mountain.
Which one?
Moshe was on top of the mountain with Malach.
With Malach. He never
fought. But he led the nation in war. That's the.
Oh, that's
and he led the nation out of Mitzrayim.
Wait, what are you
led
trying
the nation
to say with that? Therefore
he was
what?
He was killing people. Like when he
no, them. Never killed anyone. I mean, I know what you're saying.
The Mitzri.
But he didn't do that. He just, when he did that, the Govar Yisrael.
Yeah, what about the
Yisrael became stronger.
I don't mean that he literally got his hands dirty. I'm saying that he had to lead the Jews in battle out of Mitzrayim, get into wars.
Yeah, he was involved. He was involved in battle. Yeah, that makes sense. David ben Yishai, Malach al-Kol Yisrael, he's the king over all of Yisrael. The years that he was king over Bnei Yisrael altogether were 40 years. And Chevron, he was king for 7 years, 7.5 technically. Yerushalayim Malach Shlosh and Mishalosh. In Yerushalayim, he was king for a total of 32.5. He died at a good old age, Sva Yamim, satisfied with his years, Oishir v'chavod, as well as riches and honor. Vayim Shlomo ben Otachtov, and Shlomo Melech became king instead of him. V'divrei David Melech HaRishonim v'Achronim, the words of David, both the Rishonim, as well as the Achronim, the first words and the last words. Now it's funny, because Divrei David Achronim is in Perek Chav Gimel in Shmuel HaNavi Beis. It says, Divrei David Achronim, these are the last words of David. So the Rishonim v'Achronim, in other words, all of his Tillim, Hinam Ksuvim al Divrei Shmuel HaRoa, many of them are written through the words of Shmuel Anavi, Val Divrei Nasan Anavi, as well as the words of Nasan Val Divrei Gad HaChoze, right, through Gad HaChoze as well. Chazal learned from over here who finished off Shmuel. Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis. Shmuel died in the middle of Shmuel Beis, so who finished off all of Shmuel? Right, the answer is Gad and Nasan, because there's Shmuel, and then there was Gad, and there was Nasan. Im kol malchusu gvuraso, together with all the details of his kingdom and his might, va'itim asher avru alav, all the different times, the things, the events that happened with him, va'yisrael va'kol malchus ha'aratus, as well as all the kings and the lands, everything's written over there, and whatever we want to have over there, there's quite a bit that's written over there as well. Now, I do want to point out, there's a medrash that's mentioned in Shabbos Daf Lamed, right, in which it says that David Melech was supposed to die in his 70th year, and he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, how long will I live, when am I going to die, etc. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no one's allowed to know the amount of years they're going to live or when they're going to die. He said, just tell me the day I'm going to die, and he told him you're going to die on Shabbos. That's the day you're going to die. So all the Gemara says that David Melech spent all Shabbos long sitting and learning. I'm sorry? No, because we went in Ein Yaakov. We did it in Ein Yaakov. Yeah. So David Melech spent all of his time sitting and learning that entire Shabbos. I would assume it wasn't every Shabbos. He probably understood that he was going to die on his birthday. He was born on Shavuos. He died on Shavuos. So he probably had a Shavuos where Shavuos fell out on Shabbos, was in his 70th year. He spent the whole day sitting and learning and not allowing anybody else to come into his room and disturb him. I would assume this whole thing with the people happened right before Shavuos, and then after he did that. The Gemara says an unbelievable thing, that the Malach HaMavis couldn't touch him because he was sitting and learning the whole time, so he made a distraction, which caused David HaMelech to go outside. How do you what?
How do you know you're going to die on his birthday?
Tzadikim do that. Yemalish no sam yom
yom. I know Tzadikim die on his birthday, but it's kind of gaivdik to be like, I'm a Tzadik, I'm going
to
die on my birthday.
Otherwise, to understand that Gemara would have to be that he did this every Shabbos. Again, whether or not Let's just assume he did it once on that one day. Malach Mavis got him by causing him to have some type of a lapse of judgment. Now, I don't think that argues with this. It's possible that that happened in the last day of his life regarding, you know, after he did all this and that's all there. But it just shows you what kind of a person David HaMelech was. I think the purpose of that medrash was to tell you that if David HaMelech would have been left to his lonesome, if David never would have become king, and he would have remained a shepherd out there with Yishai's sheep, but then, let's say Shaul HaMelech never would have sinned, right? And everything would have been well, and Shaul HaMelech would have become king. David HaMelech was happy and satisfied being a shepherd, sitting and learning and writing his Tehillim and doing whatever it was that he was doing, right, out in the fields itself. And when it came down to it, he accepted the job as being king and was able to turn it into a positive and became a great king for Klal Yisrael. But he was perfectly fine with what he was doing and how he was. And then the last day of his life, I think the point of this medrash is, on the last day of his life, he went back to his roots. He sat there and he sat and learned all day, took all the responsibilities of the kingdom, put it on his son, and he sat back and just sat and learned and did nothing else. I think that's the point of the medrash, the idea behind what the medrash is trying to tell us what kind of a person David HaMelech was. We'll stop with that, guys. That's the end of Divrei Yom Malach.